set your course for the Hoth system. General Veers, prepare your men.
Full troops will debark for ground assault. Prepare to target the main generator.
Echo Station 3TA.
On an Imperial Walker.
Attack pattern Delta. Go now. Watch that clock fire, boys. Right now, I feel like I'd take on the whole Empire myself.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Echo Base. This is number 104. We're recording this on Tuesday, July 11th. We are in the middle of kind of a slow news week, I guess, or a slow news cycle for Star Wars stuff. There hasn't been a lot of stuff announced lately, but we'll kind of pick and choose through some of the stuff that we've had. And we've got a pretty interesting discussion, I think, something that kind of Chris wants to focus on, so I think we'll have some fun with that one. But before we get into that, let's introduce who we got here with us tonight. As usual, my two regular co-hosts here, we have Tim. Tim, how are you?
Guys, I just walked through a set for Avengers Infinity War.
We're not on random chat. This is the Echo Base show, the Star Wars show.
Yeah, I know, but it's still really cool. Just saying.
Awesome. Well, you know, I like that intro for you better than
Misa back.
So where are you and where did you see this set type stuff?
I am still down in Atlanta. I head back home tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, I'm down here for some work stuff and wanted to, in an effort to support Jay in his MCU mapping project, which if you haven't checked that out, please go to randomchatter.com. There's a blog article. The first one is posted up there, and I think Jay just said that a second one is going up tonight or tomorrow. Really neat. Jay has kind of mapped out on Google Maps positions and locations for all sorts of movies and Netflix shows and TV shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. Of MCU. So it's really, really neat. Different buildings and other areas that have been used to film. And while I was here, I kind of talked to some of the locals and said, hey, what do you guys know? Because a lot of stuff happens in the Atlanta area. There's a Pinewood Studios not too far from here where the vast majority of MCU films get shot. But they also film some stuff for their urban settings in Atlanta proper. And a local bartender gave me a tip and I went for a walk and happened to find a street that was suddenly turned into the city of New York. So I took a walk through there and snapped a few pictures, and I think Jay's going to feature some of the info, probably not in his upcoming article since this is, you know, just getting the information to him now, but I imagine probably in his third iteration for Infinity War. So
cool. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for doing some legwork for Jay, and I'm jealous I didn't get to walk through a set today, but I don't know. So, Chris, did you get to walk through any sets today? Or are you doing that kind of stuff? I think we had a bad connection. That didn't sound like Chris at all.
No, that sounded just like him.
Oh, God.
That was perfect, Chris. Thank you.
You did well. You did well. Was not expecting that.
No, I did not walk through any sets today. I wish I did, but I did not.
You know, Tim's got all the cool stuff. Last time we talked to him, he was just back from Lucasfilm. Now he's just off the set of, Civil War.
Infinity War.
Infinity War,
he's still at the Civil War. I mean, he's a time traveler.
Yes.
That's not really a scoop, I guess, anymore, is it? Hey, I just saw the set for Civil War.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, moves it up for a couple of years. I'm definitely jealous. That is cool to get to see that kind of stuff. Sadly, I will not get to see that. So
there's a lot of foam involved, like foam concrete, not to, you know, pull back the curtain on cinematography too much. But
you mean that stuff isn't all real when they, you know, people get hit by parts of buildings and stuff? That's not real?
Yeah, no. I mean, I probably would have gotten thrown off the street had I tried to Incredible Hulk some giant concrete-looking thing that was sitting on a car, but it was really foam. I mean, I did kind of, like, poke it with my finger.
I can see Tim walking down the street later with a, you know, large piece of building tucked under his shoulder. Nothing to see here, folks. No, I'm just walking with my piece of concrete. Nothing to see here.
Yep.
Well, like I said, pretty slow Star Wars news week. First off, Woody Harrelson was quoted this past week of saying that the transition is going pretty smoothly from the last directing pair for the Han Solo film to Ron Howard. That to me is good news. I like to hear that things are on track. It gives me a sense of well-being, I guess you'd say. You guys feel the same way?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. I mean, don't elaborate or anything, guys. It's just, you know.
Well, I don't think that they would have said anything negatively, obviously.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, there's even a chance that they were kind of given the message of, hey, look, we want you to go out and, you know, speak confidently about this so that, you know, the public is kind of reassured that things are going well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, no one wants to have any more bad press about this than they already have. So to have somebody come out and say, yeah, I don't know, this Ron Howard guy isn't really working out. You know, it's really rough. Even though they may have been coaches say that. There was already a little bit of dissension on the set. People were happy when Ron Howard showed up.
Yeah, those are certainly the reports that we initially heard. And you know, if you've been, folks have been following Ron Howard on Twitter or Instagram, I mean, he's kind of trolling folks a little bit. You know, some snapshots here and there things in and around London, both on the job and off the job, and nothing that is spoilerish at all, which is really kind of the whole purpose of his trolling. But it seems he's very excited about being there and the work that he's doing.
One more thing to look forward to. I'm just happy that it's going in the right direction. The last time we recorded this, I was pretty down on the whole thing. Not that I haven't changed my mind about wanting a Han Solo movie, but if we're going to get one, I want it to be good. So hopefully Ron Howard can pull that off for us. A couple weeks ago, we had the story about the gentleman that was stealing from Rancho Obi-Wan. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Well, I guess the gentleman, Carl Cunningham, has pled guilty. So he did turn himself in, I believe it was, right after they found all this. And he pled guilty to stealing more than $100,000 worth of collectibles from Rancho Obi-Wan between 2015 and 2016. He faces 4 years in prison, which I think is light for, you know, that kind of level of theft. You know, $100,000 worth of stuff is pretty high end. But I guess he's not a violent criminal, so I guess, you know, we'll slide a little bit. But I guess it's good that he owned up to it and came forward and, you know, pled guilty. And, you know, I think they kind of caught him red-handed, so it wasn't like he had much of a choice, I guess. But that was good. I'm glad to see that was moved forward. Mm-hmm. And lastly in news, we were talking before about how we're looking forward to Battlefront coming out and the multiplayer aspect of it and what they're doing with betas. Well, I guess the beta for the multiplayer portion is going to be available on October 4th. For anybody that's pre-ordered the game.
You know, this is probably not Star Wars related, but it kind of bugs me now that every single multiplayer game that's like even a little bit high profile has a public multiplayer beta.
What does it bother you?
Well, okay, so story time with Chris. Back,
folks, just a fair warning. That's going to be most of tonight.
Yes, probably. Back in 2007, I think it was still 2007 because that's when the game came out. But it might have even been like late 2006. But I'm pretty sure it was 2007. The beta for Halo 3 was made public. Well, not completely public, but you had to get into it, you know, one of three ways. You could either like win a like you entered in your email and you would get a code to download the beta, or you could do something in one of the games or something to get a code, or you could buy a copy of the video game Crackdown and download it that way. And it was like a big privilege to be a part of this beta because not everyone could do it. And then, like, I feel like that kind of started a trend of every single game that's high profile gets a beta. Like, I have a shirt still, I think I still have it at least, somewhere that says, it has a picture of a Spartan from the Halo games, and it says something along the lines of Halo 3 beta tester, because it was a big deal.
Right.
But, like, sure. Just, you know, now you can play a game early, and, I mean, yeah, it helps the developers, but part of me feels like most of the time nowadays, at least, it's just a thing to get, you know, marketing and to get people playing your stuff. And it's not actually about helping the, you know, helping the team make a good game. Like when I play the Halo beta, yeah, I mean, we were supposed to have fun with it, but we were encouraged to go on the message boards of the company and talk about the glitches and, you know, help them find the bugs, which is what the point of a beta is. It's not to play the game early. And, you know, I guarantee you that the vast majority of people that will play the beta won't be like submitting bug reports and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that trend has started in the last couple of years like that, that, you know, the public beta is more of just an early preview, not really a beta. You know, the alpha testing, the closed betas, those are what they really use for doing, you know, break this game type thing so we can fix it before it goes live. Because, you know, face it, if they're going to have a you know, beta on October 4th, everybody has pre-ordered the game, and this thing comes out and just crashes all the time, what kind of bad press are they going to get from that? I mean, that's just asking for it. If it's a closed beta and it's crashing, well, you're there to help support that and help find these problems. But you're right. It does make it feel like it's less special, I guess.
I am kind of doubtful that this is a true beta. You know, if you're going to put something out to such a wide release, and now granted, you have to have gotten into their pre-purchase or pre-buy program to be included in what they're calling a beta. But yeah, it goes out there so broadly that I have to imagine that they've already betaed it. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, the true definition of a software beta test, I think they've probably already done that.
Yeah.
And then this is really something different. And I think that this, more than anything, is a marketing ploy to encourage people to do the pre-buy, which is where a lot of these companies, and, you know, I don't disparage them this, but in the pre-buys, this is where they make a lot of money.
Yep.
You know, and this is where they know that they are going to get a return on their investment is from a lot of these pre-buys. You know, still, they do a lot of, they obviously do a lot of business retail. They do a lot of business post-release. But I think they've come to the point now from, I think, the trend that we've seen for the last several years, that if they are getting, they're kind of counting on a certain percentage of their income to come from pre-buys. And they want to, they can give, they can incentivize that pre-buy by basically giving people the game early. Mm-hmm. And that's really what they're doing. I mean, yeah, they're certainly making some tweaks and adjustments prior to the legit full public release. So, yeah, I mean, it's still in a pre-release phase, but would I necessarily call it a beta? I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But what you're going to get if you get into this, and I know, you know, Chris probably is going to be one of the pre-buyers for this, but you're going to get to play the Galactic Assault of Theed, Republic Troopers, Separatist Battle Droids, you know, battling in the streets around the Royal Palace. That sounds pretty awesome. There's going to be a Starfighter Assault Battle Mode, which sounds pretty cool. I'm looking forward to being able to fly a Starfighter and do battle over different, you know, fields. I think it'd be pretty cool. You know, I'm looking forward, but, you know, the thing for me is multiplayer isn't what's getting me into this game again. I mean, I didn't care for the multiplayer in the first Battlefront, and I'm looking for the story mode. I mean, I wish there was a way to play early in some of the story. You know, give me one portion of it to play to see what the story mode's going to be like. This we didn't get out of the first one. And, you know, hey, I'm tired of getting beat up by little kids online. no, but seriously, I want a story out of it. I don't really care too much. I mean, there's only so many times I can go up there and do battle in the same field and the same kind of tactics and stuff. I'd rather have a story mode to play through and kind of get somewhere and, you know, get a result. So,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. And that's, I mean, I also miss from the original Battlefront. I miss a lot of the features that you could do with that. I miss the single player stuff, you know, and just kind of bouncing randomly through different, you know, missions or different maps and how they arranged that. It was a fun game. And a lot of people really like the gameplay of that. A lot of people like the gameplay of Battlefront 2. Again, we're talking the original Battlefront 2. You know, so, I mean, really, I think people were just expecting the second release of Battlefront to be a, you know, more current version, you know, better graphics, incorporate some of the new Star Wars universe stuff that we've seen, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And obviously there were some gameplay disappointments. The graphics are beautiful. I mean, it's an insanely gorgeous game. Mm-hmm. Everything visually about it is fantastic. The gameplay really lacked to a lot of people. That was a big complaint. And hopefully they're fixing it in this one. And yeah, a lot of the stuff that they're throwing out there for this beta, that they're calling it, is the stuff that we saw in the demo that they put up at their convention, at the gaming convention, and also the stuff that leaked beforehand. And it, again, visually looks fantastic. Hopefully we're going to hear some good feedback. And, I mean, when this beta comes up, certainly within the first day or two, if you're paying attention to the right social media accounts, you're definitely going to hear if they fix the problems or not.
Mm, yeah, definitely. Well, we'll be waiting with bated breath for that one. Although I may not be, because, I mean, on a non-Star Wars thing, around the same time. No, it'll be the new Gran Turismo game, so I'll be looking for that. But hey, you know, I digress. Speaking of digressing, we said this to me about Chris and let him do most of the talking this week. So, Chrissy, why don't you lead us right into the discussion? You had a couple thoughts on kind of what the Star Wars universe is and what it should be and what it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Why don't you kind of lead us into that discussion?
All right. So this stemmed from our Slack channel. So this is a promotion for Slack. A lot of the stuff that we talk about now kind of comes from that, because we have some really good discussions. So you should donate to Patreon. $1 a month gets you into the Slack channel. Okay, I'm just going to ask the question. Do you guys think that Star Wars, and I'm talking about, we can kind of look at it both an in-universe and also, especially in-universe, but also a franchise as a whole. Do you think that it is more or is just the Force and lightsabers?
To me, it's more than that. I know there's a lot of people out there that is what draws them into it. But to me, it's the bigger thing.
Lou?
You know, I'd have to agree. I mean, I think that, you know, when you see, or, you know, when I saw the first movie, I mean, certainly the Force was maybe a little bit above my head at the age when I saw that and kind of didn't know what it was. Then again, back in 77, I don't think anybody knew what it was, really. It was, you know, is it magic? Is it, you know, what is the Force? But, you know, it's definitely iconic for Star Wars. Is it all there is out there? No. I mean, I'm interested in a lot more things in Star Wars than the Force and lightsabers.
Well, the reason I ask is because we were having a discussion in the Slack channel. I think it was, I know Joe was one of them, and Mike Clark, and I think Zach was also involved, about Leia in the sequel trilogy. We were talking about, well, why wasn't she a Jedi? And my argument is, well, first of all, I mean, just because you're Force sensitive doesn't mean that you have to be a Jedi. We saw that in Rogue One. But, like, why would you make Leia a Jedi? Because she's obviously had, like, in the original trilogy, had no training. Like, you're just basing it, and I didn't read much of the EU, so I don't know how she was in that. But, like, not everything has to be about Jedi and lightsabers. I mean, most of the original trilogy, with the kind of the exception of Return of the Jedi, because the word Jedi is in the title, but especially like A New Hope and most of Empire Strikes Back has nothing to do with lightsabers or the Force. I mean, yeah, it's there, but like it doesn't revolve around that. And especially when you look at it more deeply and in a universe perspective, the Force and the Jedi is just like a religion. And I mean, you have the whole, like people know about it, obviously. I compared it to Christianity in our world. I mean, people know about it and they know what it is and they know that it's a thing, but for the most part, not, you know, you don't have to subscribe to it. And some people don't even believe in it. I mean, look at Han Solo in A New Hope. He says it's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo pretty much. Right. So I don't get the concept. Like, I understand Jedi and lightsabers are exciting, especially that, because, you know, that's what we saw with the prequels, is some lightsaber battles, and that's when the Jedi were in their prime, and, you know, we saw the adventures of some of them in Clone Wars. But that's not what drives the story. I mean, I would agree that maybe the Force drives the story. And Zach made a good point, because maybe the Force is like influencing everything in the universe. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't have to be. Like, you can have the Star Wars story without focusing on the Force.
Right. I mean, if you subscribe to the view that, you know, the Force was guiding the birth of Anakin and so forth and all that kind of stuff, that's different. But in that respect, it's set dressing for the world we live in, or the world they're showing us. I agree with you in one respect of the lightsabers being fantastic to look at. They're eye candy. They're very visual. It was awesome seeing those amazing battles. But I think he can do a movie without lightsabers. I mean, I was kind of excited that Rogue One was not going to have any lightsabers. That didn't really hold true. No spoilers, but. You know, it didn't bother me that they did it that way, because it was exciting to see, and yet the story wasn't all about that. Things didn't hinge on somebody's control over the Force and doing something with it that they wouldn't necessarily do otherwise. You know, and I'm kind of thinking back to, you know, TFA with you know, the whole thing of, you know, you will leave the room and leave the door open and drop your weapon and, you know, undo these binders from me. And it was cool, but you could have done that story without having that aspect of it, I guess. But you're also talking to a guy that built my own lightsaber and has a lightsaber tattoo, so.
Yeah. I mean, you can like it, and, you know, if that's what you enjoy out of Star Wars, I mean...
Yeah, you know, I think it's certainly part of it. It's a big part of it. We know that the main saga is about the Skywalker family, and the Skywalker family at their core are Jedi, and that's cool, and they use lightsabers and all that. Yes, Leia has those abilities, but she chose a different path. She was raised to be a politician and to be a diplomat. She was raised to resist the Empire, and she kind of continues along that path, the path that she was raised in by her parents, and continues to do that because that is what's familiar to her, and that is where she feels her expertise lies. So she is not so much drawn to wanting to become a Jedi, and I think it's okay that she's not necessarily a Jedi. There is also... Well, the focus of the main saga is on the Skywalkers and on the Jedi that surround them. There's also a whole galaxy around them of people who are not Force users, and I certainly want to see more of it. Yeah, I'm totally cool with seeing some more Force users, but I also want to see stories that don't include Force users. I want to see... things of, you know, soldiers and the underworld and, you know, various other elements around the galaxy. There's just so many potential stories to tell. And we get some of those in the books. Rogue One, obviously, was about, you know, non-Force users. The Han Solo film presumably won't be including any Force users, or if it does, that's really a very minor plot line. Yeah, let's bring us more.
I'm really glad you guys agree. I was waiting for like a bunch of dissent to come at me again.
No, you're absolutely right, Chris. I think we're all on the same page, but you know, at the same time, and this kind of goes contrary to what I just said about the whole thing of you didn't need to have that. But you know, the interspersing of a little bit of Force user here and there that's not, you know, maybe you weren't expecting it, does add an element to it. It doesn't need to be there. You're absolutely right, but it adds something sometimes. I mean, I'm wondering if this conversation is more of about the Star Wars universe, or are we looking at the same, you know, if we're still going on and on about the Skywalkers, it might be a bit, you know, old hat by then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you can look at it both ways. I mean, personally, I don't think like right now, I think that you have, and I'm hoping that The Last Jedi and then Episode 9 kind of solves everything. But I hope that by the end we get a conclusive end to the Skywalker story. I mean, you can still have, like, you know, Rey and Poe and Finn and all those people show up in other movies, but the whole story doesn't revolve around the name Skywalker. And that's coming from a person that does not think that Rey is okay. Skywalker. Like, I will be very disappointed if she is. And that's also kind of one thing we talked about in Slack, was that what is the sequel? I mean, the sequel trilogy is about, I think, I mean, it's obviously about a Skywalker who we don't know, but I think it's about Luke. And yeah, you can say his trilogy was the originals, but I kind of think that the originals was more about Anakin and then his journey into Darth Vader. And then the original, or the prequels, was about that. And the original was was Luke's journey, but the whole story didn't revolve around him. The sequel trilogy, I think, is Luke's, it's his arc, it's what the story is revolving around, but it's Rey's journey.
Yeah, I can see that.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you're going to have some elements of the Force in this. And I think in the main trilogy, you're going to have that, and there's no way around it, because we're dealing with that family, we're dealing with those elements. But, you know, when we get into a Han Solo movie or Rogue One, you know, not having that in there at all, I think, is great. You know, barring the ending of Rogue One, you had a movie that didn't have any kind of Force at all. Very little bit with, you know, supporting characters there with you know, the whole aspect of, you know, the Guardians of the Wills and so forth. But it wasn't the main part that drove the story.
I think, to me, a big aspect of this, and just like when we were talking about Forces of Destiny, Star Wars is for everyone. And there are parts of it that certain fans are going to like and parts that certain fans don't like, or maybe that they're more attracted to, or parts that they don't like as much, or parts that they connect to more, or things that resonate with them more, whatever the case may be, and whatever the particular verbiage is that you want to use. And yeah, there are some fans who say, hey, you know what? I was first drawn to Star Wars because of this thing called the Force and the lightsabers and all this stuff surrounding the Jedi. And I thought that that was the coolest part. And I still do. And you know what? That's fine. If that's what they love about it, then by all means, with all that you are, keep loving that. And if there's, you know, if you're not so much a fan of the things that don't necessarily revolve around the Jedi, hey, that's fine. That's totally cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's so many different aspects of it that can be appreciated. And again, I think this also goes back to our discussion last week. I think this was last week, about like different genres that have so much potential within the Star Wars universe. So, you know, if you like the Jedi stuff, then you stick with the Jedi stuff. If there's maybe a mystery type of slant that could be had within Star Wars, well, then maybe that's where some fans are going to be drawn to. If there is a horror type of slant that people could be drawn to, then maybe that's where they go. There is so much potential within this, because the Star Wars universe, while it's a little more fantastical than our own real life in the world that we're in, they can still go anywhere with it. And it doesn't have to be one path. There can be 20 different paths, and you're going to have people who like certain things and don't like other things. And I think that's all cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, only liking certain things. I mean, you know, Lord knows I only like certain Star Wars things, and I dislike a lot of others, but yeah. But I mean, I just don't see how you can like something, but it's different whenever you say, well, Star Wars is only about this. Like, it might be to you, which is fine, but like, don't say it's only about X when it's clearly not. Like, do you honestly believe that the Star Wars universe, if you lived in it, everyone would be talking about the Force and Jedi and all of that? Like, no one care. I mean, obviously they care, but like, look, like, the Jedi is the reason why the galaxy went into a state of disarray when the Republic fell and the Empire rose.
No, absolutely right. And furthermore, I mean, it's so far removed from everyday life, you know, whether the Empire kind of drilled it out of everybody or just kind of suppressed it so much that nobody talks about it anymore, people didn't believe it was still a thing anymore. You know, I mean, yeah. And I find that so hard to believe with such a short time span. How did they go from, you know, they were had their own temple there near the Capitol and everybody knew who they were and they were the guardians of peace in the universe to who? No, that's just a myth. They don't exist, you know, within 35, 40 years or whatever it was.
And I believe it just, again, if we take a look at our own reality, we have one planet. And you look at the diversity of things across our one planet. And in Star Wars, there are thousands of systems, which within each of those systems have so many planets. And in our one planet, we have such diversity of races and religions. You know, we have Christianity and Hinduism and Islam and Judaism and atheism and so many other things that people can believe in. Is it really that much of a stretch to think that in the Star Wars universe that there's just Jedi in the Force and the opposite being the Sith and that's it? No, I think there's tons of them and there's so many planets that each, you know, peoples on those planets have their own beliefs. And yes, they may or may not have heard of the Force and of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You have different measures of isolationism or integration into, you know, what was the Republic or, you know, then the Empire and then the New Republic and going on from there. So it just, you know, to me, and again, I think it's okay that people have this thought of, to them, what Star Wars is and to what that universe is. But I look at it as kind of an extension of our own real life and that we have so much diversity here. Well, in a bigger universe, it's then exploded a gazillion times over.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's all cool.
I just, it kind of bugs me when I think about how I feel like there's so much of Star Wars that is just not being used. And we're not seeing it, not just in the films, but in the books and all of that.
Well, I mean, is that them playing it safe? Are they not purposely doing that to... You know, I mean, well, you know, look at Rogue One. We were promised a movie without the Force and without lightsabers. Well, they pulled it off almost all the way. They got a little bit at the end, which, like I said before, was very exciting. But why did they put that in there? Was it, did they feel they had to? Was it peer pressure? Was it, hey, we know we're going to sell more with this, so if we put it in there, it's a big draw. Would it have been more of a risk to do the movie without that portion of it? And it didn't, you know, they didn't throw that in there just to throw it in there because obviously it dovetailed into the story that we know in episode 4. But, you know, can you have a real movie in the Star Wars universe without Force users at all?
I think you can. I mean, I think the reason that we had it in Rogue One was because of to kind of show the transition between having a lot of Jedi to having no Jedi in the prequels and originals, and to kind of show that, yes, it's still around, especially if you look at it in chronological order. And then the Vader thing at the end, which I assume is what you're alluding to, I think was more about the character rather than showing Force and lightsabers, to show that he is as evil as we're supposed to think he is in the originals. But I honestly am not sure if we'll get it. Like, I hope that the Han Solo film has, like, hardly any mention of it. Otherwise, it'll contradict his character at all. Or completely,
right?
Which will just be a big mess. But I think that the fans are asking for so many things, and I'm not sure if the powers that be, you know, in either department at the films, the books, the comics, whatever, are catering to that. Like, I feel like rather than, I feel like they're catering to the wrong things rather than, you know, what maybe what's best for the story. Maybe they're looking at, well, what's best that's going to make us money.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't want to see it that way all the time. I mean,
that's why we got Battlefront.
Yeah, good point.
Rather than something like Star Wars 1313. Tim, I know you were saying something earlier. What was on your mind?
Well, what I was thinking was basically they just haven't had a lot of... I think part of it is they haven't had a lot of opportunity to explore other things yet. You know, it takes years to write and create a movie. It takes months, if not, you know, a couple years for them to write books. And certainly since rebooting the canon, you know, we've kind of hit the giant reset button on a lot of this stuff. And, you know, we spoke about this before. And in a lot of cases, the books, for the most part, are not where we would like them to be. They're not representative of the things that we really liked out of what's now Legends. And there were a lot of books in Legends. I mean, there was the X-Wing series, which was very largely non-Jedi stuff and explored different things. But even the books that did include, you know, Luke or other Jedi, they explored different planets and they explored different things, some of which are coming back to us in Rebels or, you know, even in the films or in the new books. But we're just it's kind of this slow start as we jump back into it, because I think it feels to us that we had so much taken away when they said, okay, we need to redefine canon here for the sake of the films moving forward. And so they're now having to rebuild that. And so they're kind of rebuilding this universe for us. And that's really what I'm most excited about for in terms of the Han Solo movie. And I've mentioned this before, I never felt that it's a necessary film for them to do. I will probably enjoy it. I'm definitely going to see it. But really what I'm looking forward to most of all out of it is, what are they going to show us that we haven't seen before? Are they going to take us to Corellia? Are they going to show us new alien species? Are they going to show us new ships? You know, what part of the Star Wars universe are they going to expand other than just simply giving us the backstory of a key character? So that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. And Rogue One also did a lot of that for us. And I loved the Rogue One story and I loved the characters in Rogue One. But Rogue One also explored a lot of different places and gave us new things. So we can really get a better feel for this greater universe.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it, I guess.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
I just hope that I was thinking about this the other day. I kind of want to see something along the lines of the Old Republic, where you can play, you know, as a smuggler or a Jedi or a trooper or whatever, and you know, you can go through the story and yeah, you're going to meet other Jedi because it's a massively multiplayer online game, but you can go through the entire story at least and not even encounter that kind of stuff. And, you know, that's what I want to see out of the books and the comics and the games and the movies and all of that. I mean, not everything has to, you know, it doesn't have to be like a small universe, and not just with the characters and the locations, but also the you know, the content as a whole and the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, Chris, I think you're right. I think I really hope they explore more than just stories with Jedi in them. And I'm talking even more than just having a passing Jedi, you know, in the background or something. I mean, I want to be totally without that, because, I mean, even in, you know, the prequel era, when Jedi were, you know, in their full form, I guess you'd say, they weren't everywhere. They weren't, you know, it was unique to see a Jedi. I mean, at least that's the impression I got from watching the movies, seeing stuff and reading things is that, you know, to see a Jedi was like, wow, you know, hey, this is a Jedi type thing. It's not like, yeah, okay, yeah, there's another one. Mm-hmm. So I want them to be more, I guess, special, I'd say, is a good word for it.
Mm-hmm. So like outside of the prequels, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, okay. But even in that era, though, I mean, it wasn't like they were on every street corner. Mm-hmm. You know, they were still a special thing to see a Jedi. I mean, it was not like you were, oh, yeah, okay, there's another one.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
that is a good point. I guess that's why I appreciate comics. I mean, I didn't read it, but comic ideas and characters like Dr. Aphra, because that's something that we haven't seen from Star Wars. I mean, it's kind of similar to maybe the Han Solo smuggler type, but the character and you know, in a relatively popular medium in a comic book is something that, you know, isn't happening elsewhere. And I understand that we're only, what, 5 years or whatever into the Disney acquisition. But by this point, you would think that you're at least going to branch out a little bit. But, you know, we haven't. And it just kind of, you know, I don't want to get into that discussion again, but it just kind of bugs me to see, well, you know, that there's like no sign of change, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I wouldn't give him a pass on the fact that, well, it's only been 5 years. Well, it's been 5 years. I mean, it's, you know, we should be seeing some more diverse stuff out of them at this point. I mean, I mean, you look at the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and that took a long time to get ramped up and going, and now it seems like we're getting stuff all the time, and we are. Maybe in a few more years it'll be that way with Star Wars, too.
Yeah, I really, really hope it is. Honestly, and I can't believe I'm saying this, if they would put more stuff out like that, I would be more inclined to explore other content that's not the...
You mean like read a book?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know,
right? Wow. Well, no, I think these are all good thoughts. I'd love to hear what our listeners have to say about this topic. And you know, we've had the discussion in Slack, but there are listeners that aren't part of Slack. Shame on you for being a listener and not part of Slack. But, you know, if you want to join this discussion, you know, let us know and join us on Facebook. Say something to us in email. And if we get enough responses, I'd love to start reading some of these on the next show and talk about this a little more in depth when we get some different views from people.
Yeah. And I will say that if you're a Slack person and you want us to read your response on air, don't send it in Slack because I will forget about it. Lou will forget about it. Sam will forget about it. It'll just get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. So just email it to us. Don't be like Mike and write a novel to us because then we won't read it.
Poor Mike.
Plus, it'll be like 5 weeks after the episode airs. So
true. And it'll be, you know, so far back in the slash, you won't be able to find them. So
yeah.
But and to do that, to send us an email, you can do that very easily by sending us an email to the address of echobase@randomchatter.com. That's the best way to get a hold of all three of us.
You can also find us on our social media accounts. We have our Facebook, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. The network Twitter is @randomchatter. This show Twitter is @echobasepodcast. My Twitter is @thecurseofchris. Lou, what is yours?
Mine's just my name. It's @LouSecki. That's LouSecki.
And Tim.
Yeah, Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. Also, make sure to spread the word and support us. Tell your friends, your family, total strangers, you know, people you see walking down the street, people on movie sets, people in bars, people at conferences, people at work, wherever you might happen to be. Make sure to leave us reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. I actually threw something out there on Twitter today to my followers saying, hey, you know, if you follow me, chances are you probably listen to a podcast. I know a lot of my followers on that Twitter account are listeners of one or many of our shows here on Random Chatter. But you probably also listen to podcasts on other networks. And you know what? That's okay. I'm okay with that. You guys okay with that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But if you listen to a podcast, you've come to be a regular listener of it, you enjoy it, take a couple minutes, go into iTunes or wherever it is that you get your podcast from and leave a review. You know, give them 4 stars. 5 stars is even better, especially us. Give us 5 stars. We like that. And, you know, write up some nice reviews, give some nice words. And I actually had a little bit of downtime today and I did that for a few podcasts, that I haven't had a chance to review in the last few months and, threw some stuff up there. So, you know, that's nice stuff when people are looking for a new podcast to listen to. They're looking for a new Star Wars podcast. Yeah. They do a search and it comes up with a gazillion different podcasts. And if they're like me, they're going to say, well, all right, I'm going to take a look at the reviews and see what the reviews say about them. And, you know, they're going to read them. They're not only going to look at just the rating, but they're also going to look at what the words are in there and see, you know, how this stuff kind of resonates with them and what people are saying about the show and the content and the host and the production and all this other stuff. So please take some time to leave some reviews in there. Patreon.com/randomchatter. That's where you can go to contribute to us. I think Lou mentioned it earlier. Chris mentioned it earlier. We talk about Slack. We're kind of at the point now where we reference our Slack channel in almost every single episode. It has really become our community. And you know what? It's okay if you can't get into there. It's okay if, you know, you might be financially strapped. You might not be able to afford Slack. It does, the minimum is $1 a month, and that's cool. If you can do that, hey, 12 bucks a year, that's nothing. To a lot of people, but it might be something for you, and that's okay. So if you can get into it, you can still interact with us on Facebook and Twitter and email and all that kind of cool stuff, which is free. But if you want to throw some money at us, if you like what we're doing, we definitely appreciate it. Lou and Chris just restructured the different perks that you can get for your Patreon sponsorship. And all of our episodes are sponsored by our Patreon donors, which is the coolest thing. You guys are directly contributing to our existence, and to our very lives. Well, our podcasting lives, I guess. So take a look, patreon.com/randomchatter. See the perks on there. $1 a month gets you into Slack. $5 a month gets you stuff. $10 a month, $15, $20, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to go beyond that and you want to donate $50 a month or $100 a month or a one-time donation of $10,000 or $50,000, we don't have perks structured for that. Shoot us an email, echobase@randomchatter.com, and say, hey, guys, I want to throw this money at your heads. What are you going to do for me? Just say Dance Monkey Dance, and we are all over it. We will send Lou to your house. He will dance just for you, whatever music you want.
Wait, it's all cool.
Hell, we'll come to you and we will record an episode in your living room with you if you want. There are all sorts of different options that we can explore. Start the conversation and we'll start the bidding.
And Tim will even wear his Jonah costume.
If you contribute $10,000 to us in Patreon, I will gladly use some of those funds to purchase one. Chris, you're up. Do your thing. I'm done.
Hey, Chris, that's you, yes.
Yeah. Oh. Dance, monkey, dance.
Yeah, so...
so this is hard to tell when Tim is finished, so I understand.
So the music that you hear in this podcast is The Imperial March by Cell Dweller and The Force Theme by Ski Android.
Well, thanks again, guys. It was a lot of fun recording with you guys, as usual. Until next week, take care.